Today's lessons are about the importance of commitment in living a life in Christ. In our gospel reading for today from Luke, we hear that Jesus has entered into the last part of his 3 years of ministry. Jesus is aware that as he travels towards Jerusalem, he is traveling toward his own death. Yet, even as Jesus is aware of his fate, he sets his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus is committed to follow the path that God has asked him to take, even unto his own death. Commitment. When I was a senior in high school, I had completed the coursework that prepared the student for further study in college or university. I made pretty good grades. I had a solid 3.6 grade point average. I had completed all the math and science courses that my high school offered. I had completed extra project work in science, reproducing the Michelson-Morley speed of light experiments over a 6-month period. I had also completed an elective composition course where we wrote 3 research papers on any historical topic and presented these papers to the class. The natural choice of secondary education for me was to go to the University of Akron. I lived in Summit County. Akron U is a 30-minute commute from my parents' house. However, although my parents could provide room and board and a car for commuting to school, they did not have the means to cover my tuition. I decided that I would join the Navy and save money to go to college to study electrical engineering. I had a plan. A 9-year plan, 4 years in the Navy, 5 years at Akron U, including a year of paid internship to pay for my last 2 years of engineering school. At 18 years old, I committed myself to a 9-year plan. Returning to our gospel lesson from Luke, we have an interesting passage. The people in the next town in Samaria, seeing that Jesus and his disciples are heading towards Jerusalem, would not let them enter their village. And Jesus' disciples, James and John, asked Jesus if they should pray for God to rain fire down on the village. Our gospel lesson today makes several references to the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Earlier in Luke chapter 9, we have the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus, Peter, James, and John meet with Moses and Elijah. So it is not surprising that James and John still had that encounter with Elijah in mind when they meet these Samaritan villagers. On 3 separate occasions, Elijah called down fire from heaven, so James and John, perhaps feeling hurt that the Samaritans would not let them stay in their village, wanted to also call down fire to consume them. Jesus himself in our gospel reading uses a reference to Elijah saying that the commitment of a follower of Christ must be stronger than Elisha's commitment to God when he was called to follow Elijah while plowing a field. This passage is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elisha asked to say goodbye to his parents, just as the man asked Jesus in our gospel passage. And Elijah allowed Elisha to say goodbye to his parents. But Jesus takes a harder view on commitment. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It is interesting that in our Old Testament reading for today, we have another example of commitment from Elisha. It is the end of Elijah's life, just before he is carried up to the heavens in a whirlwind. Elisha stays with him to the moment that he is carried away. Elisha is rewarded for his commitment and loyalty by being granted twice the spirit of Elijah. Going back to our gospel reading, Jesus asks another man to follow him. The man asked to be permitted to bury his father first. Jesus' response, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Commitment. above and beyond the commitment to honor one's parents. This passage in the Gospel of Luke contrasts the Old Testament agreement between God and man and our New Testament relationship with God, as taught by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament agreement was to follow the law given to Moses, to follow the dietary restrictions, the rituals of behavior and conduct. The general conception is that God, as described in the Old Testament, was much harder, rigid, a stickler for the law of the Ten Commandments. That Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, or this new agreement, teaches us a more gentle, compassionate relationship with our God. In the case of the Samaritan village, yes, we Christians do not believe in destroying someone just because they want to go their own way. Just because they believe something different is no reason for them to be our enemy. However, that does not mean that our commitment to God, living into the example set by Jesus Christ, is any less. And in the case of our lessons today, Jesus expects us to be far more committed to the establishment of the kingdom of God than the Old Testament prophets in following God's commandments. We do not have to follow the Old Testament laws and rituals, but we are expected to follow instead the spirit of the law, to love our neighbors at least as much as they love as we love ourselves, and if we can, to love each other as God loves us. What an extraordinary commitment that Jesus asks of all of us. Rather than obey to the letter of the law a complicated set of regulations and obligations, Jesus teaches us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is not just a requirement to return good for evil. This is an obligation, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan, to help those in need, and through our actions, make our communities better places to live. That we, as we live in Christ, we are bringing about the kingdom of God. Living in Christ is not an obligation imposed from without, like obeying a law. It is rather a responsibility, a commitment we accept from within, a freely given sacrifice of our time and effort. The law of the Old Testament was that you follow the rules, the rituals, and you were forgiven. You break the rules, go against God's law, and you will be punished. Everyone who had this testament, this agreement with God, was stuck in this purely transactional relationship with God. In the Christian understanding of the kingdom of God, we are already forgiven. God has forgiven all of us of our sins against him and each other. Jesus asks us to commit to the spirit of the law as our freely given sacrifice to God, and to bring that understanding of the kingdom to everyone around us. Not everyone is ready to make this commitment. There were three men in our gospel passage who were called by Jesus to follow him. To the first, Jesus replied that to follow him would mean that the man would be homeless, as Jesus himself has no home. To the second man, whose father had died, Jesus replied that he should proclaim the kingdom of God, rather than bury his own father. To the third man, who wanted to say goodbye to his family, Jesus replied that he should not look backward, but ever forward to the kingdom of God. It does not appear that any of these men became disciples. But Jesus did not condemn them. Jesus was strict, perhaps, but the decision to commit to the kingdom must come from within each one of us when we discover what God is calling us to do. In our lesson from Galatians, Paul gives us an idea of how to discern our calling. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We are free to commit ourselves to that calling which fills us with the fruits of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Once we find that calling, we need to commit to it to the exclusion of all else, ever looking forward, because this is how we ourselves will proclaim the kingdom of God. All that sounds pretty good, and it is good, but it is not easy. There will be setbacks. There will be problems. We can mistake our calling and have to reevaluate our path forward. I was called to be an electrical engineer and a father and husband and now a preacher. When you find your place in the kingdom, you will know, and I believe you will not look back, but will look ever forward, committing your life to the kingdom of God.